You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurleyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We got to talk a little bit here about some of the wacky stories coming out about COVID and the border. And they kind of conflate in a lot of situations because it's hard to address COVID without also seeing the hypocrisy of what's happening at the border. And I do want to play, Jared, we might have to go back into yesterday, I apologize, but I want to play that impending doom cut from the CDC director, because the more I think about it, and now she's saying there might be a fourth wave of COVID. She says, I'm scared. And I saw this today from the Post Millennial, a story about this, and we got to address it. Do we have the cut? It's going to take a minute. But speaking of the Post Millennial, they have all of the stories that you really want to hear. They'll drive you crazy, but they're good. It's good to know that this stuff is happening, whether it's migrant children in San Diego are getting in-person learning, or the CDC director Rochelle Walensky is telling us that there's going to be a fourth wave. A fourth? You heard that right. A fourth wave. Let's play the cut.
I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
Right now, I'm scared. That's what she says. Now, here's where, for me, it doesn't make sense, okay? The CDC director says there's impending doom. She's scared about a fourth wave. And meanwhile, so no kids can be in school. You know, we can't risk it. They're the safest group, by Joe Biden's own words. They're the safest group in the world. But we can't have kids back in school. It's too big of a risk. But you know who can have school? Is the migrant children in San Diego. So they've been moved to San Diego, and a lot of teachers are volunteering to go to these places and teach these migrant children. Still don't want to teach the American children, but they're cool with, you know, going to these overflow facilities. I want to bring on Libby Emmons. You guys know she's a frequent guest of the show. She writes for the Post Millennial, and the Post Millennial just, they come up with this stuff. There's so many stories every day that they hit first. Libby, thank you for joining the program.
Sure thing. Thanks, Grace.
So, Libby, let's talk a little bit about this story, because when I first saw it, actually, my dad called me this morning and he said, you hear about this story in San Diego, the migrant children are getting in-person learning. And I said out loud to my dad, I said, I'm going to have to double check that. That sounds like fake news. And it's
right?
Not.
Yeah, I had a very similar reaction. I saw last night as well, I was looking at it, I saw something on Twitter. Someone was like, oh, so illegal immigrant children are going to be getting in-person education in San Diego. San Diego kids are still stuck in remote learning hell. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I sent it to one of my writers working last night, Katie Davis Court, and I asked her to check it out. And sure enough, that's what's going on. So in San Diego, they have children housed at migrant facilities, seems like detention to me. And they are going to be receiving, per HHS and the Biden administration's largest, in-person learning. Teachers from San Diego have been asked if they wanted to come in and volunteer to teach these kids, and undoubtedly many with giant big hearts will go do that. But what's shocking to me is that the San Diego Teachers Union has not permitted teachers to go back into the classroom to teach the kids of California.
And Libby, I think it just highlights the hypocrisy and the disconnect between what regular people are worried about on a daily basis versus what we're being told is the real problem. And I think mm-hmm. that the border really highlights it the best, because you have people who are walking around every day being told by Karens in their workplace that they have to have two masks mm-hmm. on or have their mask up higher. And then meanwhile, they're seeing these pictures that, first of all, you know, reporters have to sneak these photos from the border because there's no press allowed in. But they're seeing these photos and they're going, wait a second. So we have all these people coming in with God knows what diseases. I mean, let's just be honest. They probably have COVID. They probably have a lot of things. And that's fine. But my kid can't go back to school. I mean, am I simplifying it, or is that kind of the crux of the issue here?
No, I think that's entirely the crux of the issue. In fact, just before we got on the call, the White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki took a question about this. And the reporter was sort of aghast, like, why is it that San Diego kids can't get properly educated, but these kids that you have invited up into the country for no apparent reason can? And Jen Psaki was like, oh, well, it's spring break. Context is important. Kids are going to go back to school in San Diego on April 12th, which is the date. But I think that context is important. And the real context is that these kids have been kept out of school for a year. The education they've been receiving is garbage. Remote learning is not learning. It is sitting on a screen on mute for half the day. And the teachers' unions have refused to allow kids to get educated, but now they're encouraging other kids to get educated. It doesn't make any sense. And I guarantee you that these kids at the San Diego migrant facility are not going to be learning about critical race theory or the racial scourge of the evil United States either. You know, that's probably not what's going to be getting taught here. So what is really going on? Why are we preferencing these kids who, you know, are very deserving of all the wonderful things in the world? But so are the children of California, and they're not getting it.
Right. I'm speaking with Libby Emmons from the Postmillennial. She also writes for The Federalist. And Libby, I know I ask you this a lot when you come on, but I know you have kids at home. I know they're trying to learn the best they can. And I know it's frustrating because you have a career and you're trying to get your work done. And so I have to get your reaction. I want to play this cut from our vice president and then get your reaction, not only as someone who follows this, but as a mom. This is cut mm-hmm. one.
More parents are seeing the value of educators when they had to bring their kids and say, we're not paying them nearly enough.
What do you have to say about that, Libby?
I don't understand why the vice president chooses to cackle like an insane person half the time. But I found that also rather shocking and frustrating that she's talking about, the full clip of that was that she was talking about how essential it is that we use this opportunity of the crisis to basically push forward a massive funding proposal for universal child care and all of this stuff, which I also just think is so harmful. You know, there's this giant push to make sure that mothers don't take care of their children, but that the government does it. And I'm not a huge fan of that for preschool age kids and whatever else. You know, that's my own bias, I'm sure. But I found it really upsetting to see the callous laughter that she employed with regard to parents' struggle this year. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they just really don't care about what regular Americans are going through and the restrictions that we've all been put under and the, you know, the really debilitating impact of this on our children. And this whole thing that they have about, you know, all the schools are going to be open by, April 23rd, I think is the 100 days mark into office. But what they're not telling you is that the remote learning option that will still be available means that the kids that are in the classroom are not actually being taught by teachers in the classroom. They are still required to use the online tools. So when my son, for example, goes into school and there's however many kids in his class in person, all of those kids are sitting there with their remote learning devices in order to facilitate the remote learning of the kids at home. So the teachers are at their desks. You still have to raise your hand on the screen, not in person. You still have to communicate with your teacher through screen, even though you're sitting 6 feet away at your own desk. So it's not, you know, it's still bad. It's still not what we're looking for, and it's still not what parents are demanding.
And I think another point that I really hadn't thought of until you just pointed it out, but she's using what's happened over the last year to say, oh, I think we all realize that teachers need to be paid more and they deserve more money. And once again, I think there's a disconnect, because I think that regular Americans, what their takeaway is from this last year is we need to get rid of teachers' unions because these people have way too much power.
Yeah, I think interesting, too. And I think we saw that also in the campaign season. So the National Education Association, which is not only the biggest teachers' union in the country, but I believe is the biggest union in the country with almost 3 million members, they gave a lot of money to the Biden campaign, and shortly after the election, they sent their playbook for how money should be spent on education, for how to get schools open, and it had a huge amount of things in it that had nothing to do with, you know, COVID, blah, blah, blah. It had to do with the kind of education they wanted. It had to do with different kinds of curriculum. It had to do with LGBTQ course study work and all of these extra things. It also had some things in it that a lot of parents want, you know, smaller class sizes and more attention for each kid. But their, I think, $165 billion proposal, much of which got through in that $1.9 trillion package, was really an awful lot more about what teachers' unions want than it was either what parents want, what students need, or what teachers want.
Right. And then just to piggyback off that for a second here, and we don't have a ton of time left, Libby, but you have a story out today where there's a, it looks like a Zoom call. It's, you know, how school is nowadays. And there's a student on one side of it and the teacher on the other. And the teacher shows a picture of, I think it's two women. I don't have the photo in front of me, mm-hmm. but one is black and one is white. And the teacher says to the student, can you tell me what you see when you look at this photo? And the student keeps saying, I see two people. And the teacher becomes mm-hmm. obsessed with, no, yeah. what do you really see? And the kid's like, I see two people. What do you want me to say? And there is this obsession with race. And it mm-hmm. seems like even if they are back in school, I think it's probably a little frightening for parents now to know what they're being taught when mm-hmm. the Zoom is off.
Yeah, I actually thought that that was a really interesting video. And it was an interesting Zoom call. And what I really appreciated about it was the student's refusal to back down. The student was actually anti-racist. The teacher was demanding that the student look at everything through a lens of race, and the student was saying, no, absolutely, I will not. And I have the utmost respect for that, and I hope that that's the kind of courage that our kids can have, to say, no, equality under the law is real. There are not differences between people that have to do, you know, qualitative differences that have to do with skin color, that are based in skin color or bloodline, or anything like that. No one is better than anyone else because of where they come from. No one is worse. You know, how did we possibly get so far into the weeds that we have teachers demanding that children look at a person and judge them by the color of their skin before the content of their character? We have had, my son was actually asking me about this morning because I was watching the video and he was like, what's that? And I talked to him about it. And he was like, why is this going on? And I was like, well, we had this beautiful civil rights movement, absolutely unprecedented in, you know, the history of the world. I mean, spectacular civil rights leaders, amazing thinkers. We had leaders at the time who were like, oh, let me listen up and see what that's about. Yeah, you know, you're actually right. And we have this. And now we're just reversing course. Yeah. We're betraying everything the nation stands for. And we're betraying everything the civil rights movement taught us.
I agree,
for
Libby.
Someone like me, it's shocking.
I agree, yeah. Libby, and I think that's a great point. And I think we have to end it there. We don't have a lot of time. But Libby, if people want to follow you on Twitter and find your work, where can they find you?
I'm at Libby Emmons on Twitter, and of course, I'm at thepostmillennial.com every day.
All right, awesome. Everyone should check out that website. By the way, guys, the Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. You've heard Joe talk about that. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or even decades. Sell today with JJ Manning. For over 40 years, JJ Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From high-end homes to estates to commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency free. That's the key. There is a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly voted JJ Manning number one for four consecutive years in a row, because they have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. When you sell with a broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. You know this. Some sectors are at an all-time high. Some are losing ground. You want to act now before Joe Biden destroys yet another sector of the economy, before you're able to cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes the girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We have a lot to talk about. I just had Libby Emmons on. She's not sure why Kamala has that maniacal laugh every time she gets uncomfortable. I might start trying it out. You know, if there's a little bit of silence in the show, I'm just going to start cackling. Let's see what that does for ratings. Today's poll question is brought to you by Balance 7 Liquid Concentrate. Start sleeping better tonight and get the acid out of your body with Balance 7. Save $10 on the six-pack with code word Howie. To order, go to balance7.com. That's balance7.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Trump quote about Fauci and Birx was your favorite? They're two self-promoters. Fauci's first pitch was a roller. Fauci is the king of flip-flops. They're like a bad habit, or Fauci always talked negatively about her.
Roller.
Roller's only polling at 8%.
Oh, I love that line.
Two self-promoters is in the lead at 45%. Second place, Fauci is the king of flip-flops at 29%.
All right, so I'm going to give you guys a little bit of the context here. This was the statement by Donald J. Trump. Based on their interviews, I felt it was time to speak up about Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, two self-promoters trying to reinvent history to cover for their bad instincts and faulty recommendations, which I fortunately almost always overturned. That was where the first one is from. In a fake interview last night on CNN, Dr. Fauci, who said he was an athlete in college but couldn't throw a baseball even close to home plate, it was a roller, tried to take credit for the vaccine, when in fact he said it would take 3 to 5 years, and probably longer, to have it approved. Dr. Fauci was incapable of pressing the FDA to move it through faster. I was the one to get it done, and even the fake news media knows and reports this. Dr. Fauci is also the king of flip-flops and moving the goalposts to make himself look as good as possible. He goes down to say, Dr. Birx is a proven liar with very little credibility left. Many of her recommendations were viewed as pseudoscience, and Dr. Fauci would always talk negatively about her and, in fact, would ask not to be in the same room with her. Time has proven me correct. I'm skipping around here. I only kept Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx on because they worked for the U.S. government for so long. They are like a bad habit. Fun fact, Dr. Fauci, if I had to give this one little edit as a columnist, I would say, Mr. President, you might want to work in the fact that Dr. Fauci is the highest paid federal employee. I think that's an interesting tidbit. It's a good nugget to have in there. I see you guys lining up. I'll take your calls on the other side. 844-500-4242. On the other side, I want to start a new segment where we go over some of the highlights in journalism. This is 2021. The state of journalism has never been lamer. And if you need any further proof, Jim Acosta is here to show you the way. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I promised you a new segment. We don't have the sound for it yet. I'm going to work on that tomorrow. But this segment is where we go through some of the highlights in journalism and, you know, things that the talking heads are saying. And there's a lot. There's a lot to go through. But first, I want to go out to some people who've been waiting a while to talk. Dave, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Hi, Grace. I'm just calling to vent about Mr. Charlie Baker.
Oh, go ahead. Please, Dave. You have the floor.
Did he not a couple weeks ago said that he wasn't going to target or individualize a certain group for the vaccine? And then I hear this weekend teachers are getting it. There's been people working in the public, not teaching remotely, that have been out in the public since day one, nonstop working. Why are they not moved ahead in the line like the teachers are, who are teaching from their basement? I don't understand it. And nobody's called them out on it.
And I think the craziest part of it, Dave, is the idea that if they do have the vaccine available, if it's made available to them, that these teachers are going to go, oh, okay, cool. Now we're vaccinated. Let's get back to work. I'm getting this sense. I've heard certain teachers say, or certain teachers' union group members say, even if the vaccine becomes available, the teachers still are not going to go back to work until all the students are vaccinated. So I don't really know what the end game is, Dave.
And the best part is the teachers are giving the kids projects. I know my son's gotten several projects where we have to go out to the grocery stores for science class. It's unbelievable.
And the grocery stores, exactly. They've been open this entire time. The young kids who work there or old people who work there, they keep bagging groceries. They're not complaining. They're not pretending that, you know, we're putting them in danger every single day. But these teachers, they, I shouldn't even go down this road because I know I'm going to get people calling and getting mad at me. And I understand. But I feel how I feel. Maybe you're a teacher, you're part of the union, but you don't agree with them. That's one thing. But if you're part of the group that thinks, oh, we need to have all the teachers vaccinated and all the students vaccinated, you're insane. It's bubble boy status. What's next? What is next? That, oh, you know, if anyone has a cold, we have to have the entire school evacuated and cleaned out for a week? Just insanity. Kevin, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Grace. Great show, and I love your intro music.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, what a... make a couple of comments. First one about the vaccine passport. I think it's interesting that the same people pushing for vaccine passports, they're the same ones calling voter ID laws Jim Crow. Hypocrisy doesn't even seem to describe it anymore. Hypocrisy has become such a cliche, but I think it's an interesting comment there. The other thing I want to mention is Joe Biden, he's got this nervous habit of touching the left side of his nose when he talks a lot. Indication, I think, that he's not confident in what he's talking about. The other day when he was talking about the mask, wearing the masks again, up goes the hand to the nose. So I don't think he believes in what he's talking about.
Yeah, or Kevin, sometimes I think that when he does things like that, like he'll touch his right eye sometimes and kind of scratch it. Sometimes I think that signals to the people are really going to think I'm conspiracy now. But sometimes I do think that's a signal to someone in his team, like I'm losing my train of thought or, you know, we need to wrap this up. I do see that happening a lot. So I don't know. I agree with you, though, about everything else you said. I mean, the hypocrisy of the vaccine passports is mind blowing. And if you hear about this and there's not a part of you that's a little bit skeptical, then you're probably one of those people who thinks that the government is here to help you and they're here to keep you safe. And I can't help you with that, because if you buy that, you're on a whole different level. Speaking of hypocrisy, though, I do want to get to some of this news about journalists. You know, I always talk about how when these journalists want to, they can really be they could be the best in the business. When they find a story that they're interested in, it's like a dog going after a ribeye. They just can't get enough. But when it's anything that kind of goes against their narrative, they play dumb, they have no interest, they avoid. And they've just proven time and time again to be absolute hypocrites and frauds. And of course, one of the biggest examples of that is Jim Acosta. You guys remember Jim Acosta as the guy who during the Trump administration was hounding Donald Trump. He was like pushing interns out of the way to get behind the mic and to yell at Trump and tell him how bad he was. Orange man, evil. And to top it off, he was a hero. So many times. If you look inside your heart, Jim Acosta would not give up. He would call out to Trump, "Mr. President, what do you say to people who think you're responsible for all the deaths in this country?" Now, you guys also probably remember that one of his best moments before Trump was when he asked Obama the hard-hitting question, what do you say to people who are calling this your best week ever? That's how much he fluctuates, okay? So Trump is no longer the president. What does Jim Acosta do? He just goes off the beat completely. He no longer is the guy at the White House for CNN. He's just not the correspondent anymore. I guess he hosts some weekend show or whatever. So it makes sense that he's kind of not in the limelight anymore. And Trump's not on Twitter, so he can't reply back to all of Trump's tweets. He can't have his Dear Diary moments. But he's back in the news. He's back trending on Twitter, and here's why. Did you see this? He got his vaccine. And I'm noticing, I think it's a liberal thing. The same way liberals love to take pictures of the I voted sticker, I've done it before too. So don't go back on my Facebook and pull up the, I know I did it before. I was loving my makeup that day. So yes, I took a picture of myself with a sticker. But I'm noticing that the same people who love to take those pictures love to take pictures of themselves getting vaccinated and post it on Instagram or Facebook and whatever. Do whatever you want. I personally, it's not really the vibe of my Insta, but that's fine. So Jim Acosta obviously has to take a photo of himself getting vaccinated. It's so on brand for him. And he's wearing this t-shirt, Jared. I got to read Stephen Miller's caption for this. He said, "This is the most Jim Acosta thing Jim Acosta has ever done. Even more Jim Acosta than Jim Acosta making his Twitter header a picture of Jim Acosta pointing at Jim Acosta's Twitter avatar of Jim Acosta," which is a true story. He did that. Now, here's what the shirt says. In 2020, this is a shirt that I'm guessing he had made. "In 2020, I covered the impeachment trial and a caucus night that lasted a week and the primaries and the COVID pandemic and the economic crash and the racial justice protests and Lafayette Square and so many rallies and the death of RBG and the president's 1 a.m. coronavirus diagnosis and a Supreme Court confirmation and an election night that lasted a week and firings by tweet and the recounts and the presidential transition. And I have a commemorative shirt to prove it."
You are so brave.
Tell us more, Jim.
How small is the typeface on that shirt? Acosta's not a big guy. There's not a lot of material there.
The level of narcissism. These people think that they are first responders. They are literally our heroes.
Well, they were inside the concentration camps that the president had on the border. They were really inside the evil Castle Grayskull upon which Orange Man Bad sat on his throne and murdered puppies every day. And they saved the puppies. I mean, they had to.
And now, but Jim Acosta, I'll never forget this. Because, you know, out of all of the people that I followed closely during the Trump presidency, Jim Acosta was up there. Because he was just so obnoxious. But one thing I remember he did was he asked Trump if he was, he said, this is how he always poses his questions like this. "What do you say to people who say dot, dot, dot?" Because it gives you a degree of separation. Like, I'm not the one saying it. I'm just saying that people say it. So he said to Trump, "What do you say to people who say you're manufacturing a crisis on the border?" Jared, he said this to President Trump at a Rose Garden, you know, press conference or something. There were angel moms in the audience, and he said that. And that's when I really realized, oh, this is a bad guy. This is a, to be able to say that in front of mothers and fathers who lost their children. Their children were murdered by illegal aliens. And for this guy to get up and say, what do you say to people who say you're manufacturing a crisis? I was like, whoa, there is no depth that he will not sink to.
And I don't understand. And I brought this up when I worked for RKO. I don't understand how that guy could still be on the White House beat. He was compromised from day one. The moment that President Donald Trump looked at him and said, no, you're fake news, Jim, you're fake news. He was completely compromised. He should have been pulled from the beat at that point because there was no way he would have ever been able to be unbiased. And if CNN cared about their journalistic integrity, he should have been pulled the minute he was compromised.
Well, Trump,
but he wasn't.
Trump's like a kingmaker, though. He would point to people, and depending on how much he hated you, that was your ticket. You know, you were indispensable. If you got your press passes pulled from the White House, your press credentials, boom, household name. If you told Trump that he's racist, hashtag we stand with Yamiche. There's nothing this guy can't do. There's so much power in when Donald Trump would make fun of you because the left automatically, whatever Trump likes, whatever he dislikes, they'll go the opposite. So if Trump hates you, you're in. You've made it. And there's nothing you can do, really, that will get you kicked out, short of, you know, Andrew Cuomo status, where the laundry list just got too long. And I'm not done. I know you guys are like, all right, that's good. We got the journalism done for the day. No. Because speaking of Andrew Cuomo, Chris Cuomo is still on the air. Okay? And that's fine. I don't support cancel culture. I want Chris Cuomo to stay around. Gives me a lot of good cuts for the show. Jared, unfortunately, has to actually listen to them prior. But I'm all for Chris Cuomo being on the air. But what I find amazing is he's still sanctimoniously lecturing people about how much better he is. I'm curious how the cameramen at CNN keep a straight face. It must be so uncomfortable when they cut to break after he goes on one of these virtue signaling monologues about how wonderful he is and how much he cares and how he's better than everyone else. Does a camera guy go, oh gosh, thank God that's over?
It's just another indicator how detached he is. Like the Cuomos really believe they are so fundamentally important that they didn't do anything wrong because they are so necessary that they deserve to get the testing ahead of people who need it. Like there's a disconnect, a belief within them that they are that important.
Yeah.
That they didn't do anything wrong. There was nothing wrong with that. People shouldn't be upset at them. They're the Cuomos.
But Jared, even with that being said, the lack of self-awareness in this cut will blow people's mind. We will play it on the other side. But first, I got to let you guys know, you just hit the jackpot. I have this amazing all-natural product that you need to try. You guys have heard Howie talking about this. Well, I'm using it too. Balance 7 is your one-stop shopping to help increase your energy levels, aid in digestion, heartburn, arthritis, and so much more. Check out Balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. I have really bad heartburn. It's been helping a lot. I'm told that it's because I eat chocolate before bed, so I try to cut down on that, but I'd really rather just take Balance 7 and keep my chocolate before bed. You've heard this promise from other products, but Balance 7 really does what it says it will do. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces a day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. What's not to love about that? Order your 1 month supply at balance7.com. Use code word GRACEFREE to save $10 and get free shipping. Be one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive Smooth Skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99. You'll get it for free. If you haven't hit the jackpot before, today's your lucky day. Order now and receive $10 off a 30-day supply, free shipping, and a chance to receive Smooth Skin Conditioner at no charge. All by using code word GRACEFREE. That's code word GRACEFREE. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take some more of your calls and we'll play We'll play the Fredo Cuomo. I'm sorry to do this to you guys, but I got to keep you informed here. The Cuomo brothers have not stopped talking, and we got to cover it. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm trying to think of something I can do here. Kind of like Hack Madness. They did the March Madness. I'm thinking of some way we could incorporate that into a daily thing. Maybe we do a face-off between two obnoxious reporters. You know, today would be Joe Scarborough versus Chris Cuomo. Who's going to come out on top? Just an idea. I'm just always thinking. Let's play Chris Cuomo talking about his Pledge of Allegiance to the Collective, whatever that means.
It is the Pledge of Allegiance to the Collective. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That pledge needs to be reaffirmed right now. We are in a bad spot. We are mired in a time of a plague-like pandemic, and we are mired largely because of us and a collective lack of faith in the facts and a lack of faith to that pledge of allegiance. Too many refuse to live the right way, with masks and with restraint to hold back the variants.
Hold on.
As a result, all of us...
Should the Cuomo brother... really be telling us how to live the right way? Here's how I live the right way. I don't ask people that I work with to sing Danny Boy to me. I don't get tests from... I don't use nurses' time to administer tests to me instead of to nursing home patients. You could go on and on and on. I don't yell at fat tire bikers outside my Hamptons house. I started with an Andrew Cuomo, but I realized, you know, it's not really fair to blame him for his brother. So we'll go for more Chris Cuomo's flaws. I don't yell at people that I'm going to throw them down the stairs if they call me Fredo. Stop telling us how to live the right way. Leave us alone. That's all we want from the Cuomos at this point. Leave us alone. I don't care if CNN continues to pay him. I don't care if they continue to put his show on. But please, lecturing people on how to live the right way. Physician, heal thyself. Bob, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Grace, two things. First of all, don't forget he yelled at that fat, tired biker without a mask, and he had COVID-19 at the time. So don't forget that part of it.
Sacre bleu.
But the second thing is that I have proof that Donald Trump saved millions of lives during the COVID epidemic. What he did when he said, don't wear a mask, immediately all the libs said, oh, we're putting a mask on because Donald Trump said don't wear one, and a lot of conservatives elected to put one on out of their own choice. Now, if he had said everybody wear a mask, not one liberal would have put a mask on, and therefore the epidemic would have been 20 times worse.
Yeah, no, you're right. They would have done the exact opposite of what he said. Bob, that's a great point. Someone else this week brought up something else I didn't think of. They said, you know, I was asking people, do your friends who voted for Joe Biden, do they understand now they made a mistake? And this guy called up and said, well, no, it's Trump's fault they voted for Biden. Trump made them vote for Biden. It is amazing how anything can come back to Trump. Now, for one sec here, I do want to play one more thing because I talked about these liberals making ridiculous comments, and I want to play Juan Williams. He was talking, you know what, I'm going to save this, Jerry, because I got to set it up a little bit. There was a horrible, horrible incident that happened in D.C., where an Uber driver, a 66-year-old Pakistani immigrant, was carjacked, and the girls tried to take his car. They tased him. He wouldn't get out. So they sped away in his car while he was still in it. He got ejected from the car and died on the sidewalk. And most sane people see the video, and it's horrific. And they say, wow, those two girls murdered that guy. I mean... seems pretty clear. Not Juan Williams. He has a different take. We'll play for you on the other side. Do not go anywhere.